flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic. I'm Nat.
And I'm Matt.
And today we have a fun little episode for you, a recap of our weekend in Chicago.
We're going to take you on the portable, very short form, everything you needed to see that you missed out on at Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, we already know you missed out on the deep dish and the hot dogs, but we can provide everything else.
Well, you didn't miss out on the deep dish.
No, I can't. I can't dish pizza, so I didn't
even have any.
Yeah.
But the food was good.
Food was good.
What was the best thing you ate?
Oh, we went to an Italian restaurant on Friday night, and I had in-house made gnocchi. It was so good. Ooh. It was like a melt in your mouth, like delicious. So good.
Mm-hmm. I had someone next to me at a dinner Saturday night had house-made gnocchi with had a cream sauce and fried sage, and it was delicious. Ooh. I had a house-made linguine. It was a squid ink with lobster and a spicy mild.
That's
like
fancy.
Spicy like cream sauce. I'm like, yes, please.
Fancy over here.
One thing I'll say though, the prices in Chicago for a lot of the food were really good. I did not expect that.
It's true.
I'm not to complain.
I mean, it was good food for not too bad.
So, unless you ate on the con floor.
Yeah, actually the con food was more expensive than if you went to a restaurant. So it's you might as well go to a restaurant.
But they had a bar cart in the con, which I thought was funny.
They did, yeah. they had a lot of food options at the con, but they were all just very expensive.
And so in a pinch.
Speaking of the con, how was your Chicago experience?
It was a whirlwind. I feel like I'm still catching up a week later from it, but it was a blast. It was my first time with a creator badge, which was just surreal, to be honest. And I spent most of the time in panels, taking notes for future episodes, talking to people. I maybe got three games in the whole time.
Yeah, I think I played one Commander game the whole weekend. My con experience is a little different from most people. I was working at the Magic Kids booth all weekend, so most of my weekend was that and teaching Magic and a little bit of Oathbreaker. It was crazy. It was a good time. There were what'd they say, 10,000 people there?
It was the first MagicCon to be completely sold out every pass. I haven't seen final numbers. Oh, you could tell they were running out of tables. But you know what? It was kind of funny because people started playing on the floor. And honestly, I didn't see a whole lot of people complaining because there was something fun and nostalgic about that for some people.
Floor magic.
Mm-hmm. Anytime. There's a great post, and I wish I could remember who put it up there. And it was a photo of an empty table at the con with the caption, "Rarer than a serialized card."
Yeah. No, it's true. Every table was full.
I played at a round table, which was fun. You're just in a line with everyone you're going up against.
Yeah, that was interesting. They did a lot of round tables, which isn't the most ideal, I feel for Magic, but...
We also had a massive dental conference next to us that may have taken most of the tables.
That's also true.
Joke's on them. I think all the Magic players stole their lanyards, though.
So many people got lanyards, and I felt kind of left out because I didn't have a dental lanyard.
Yes, you do. I just need to drop it in the mail for you with a couple other things.
But I was staying, the hotel I was staying in was attached, so I didn't have to walk through the dental con to get to the Magic Con, so I didn't really like see them that much. Also, I'm pretty sure you're frozen.
Are you sure?
Your camera's frozen, but I can hear you. Oh, there you go.
Oh,
you're very stoic.
It's like, don't move. Maybe she'll think it's a gag.
Yeah. So no, it was good. It was a busy weekend.
And then we had a big thing on Sunday morning.
We did. We had our meet and greet as Flavor Profiles. We wore our cosplay of Casualties of War from Fallout and handed out Nuka-Cola caps.
And a good chunk of our stickers and some of the last of our older tokens. It was wild running out of them, out of all the tokens, because it's the end of an era of the first batch I ever had made, but now we get to design new ones.
Yeah.
We also had a few people who didn't recognize us and what we were dressed as. That led to some hilarity.
Yeah, so a lot of people thought you were wearing the jacket from Thriller.
I mean, that was the wildest interaction I had.
A lot of people thought I was Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service. I think just because of the bow.
it was a pretty pronounced bow.
Yeah. But once people realized what we were, they were like, oh, yeah, okay, that's mm-hmm. really good. It just took folks a moment because our preview came out like on Thursday while people were traveling, and some people like hadn't seen it yet. So
we had to keep pulling up our phones with the photo of the card.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah. No, our meet and greet was really good. If you were one of the folks that stopped by and said hi to us, thank you. It was really cool to talk and meet with folks. So
that was the highlight. Just seeing people excited to meet us, making hopefully new future listeners and fans. All of our friends have been listening, coming up to support us. That was a pretty special experience.
Yeah, that was really cool. So one of the things that you were able to attend was the preview panel, which had stuff from almost every single set coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the last one.
The horror set that I'm going blank on the name for.
Yeah. I want to say Frostmourne, but I think that's World of Warcraft. I don't think that's actually a thing.
Well, we'll focus on the others for this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went through Bloomburrow, The Next Universes Beyond with Assassin's Creed, Modern Horizons 3, and Thunder Junction.
And then also some of the Fallout stuff.
That was another neat panel. They debuted the last deck, the science deck, and had several of the lead designers, including one of the artists from Bethesda for the Fallout series, who's also a Magic player.
I love when that intertwines, when all the different fandoms and things collaborate.
That panel, just the joy of everyone on it, was the best part, because everyone was just so excited to share what they'd been working on, what they're passionate about, their Fallout story, their Magic story.
Yeah.
Do we want to start with going through some of the main previews for the rest of the year?
And yeah.
Kind of came out. This was a pretty stacked little panel as well. We had Blake Rasmussen, the communications director from Wizards, Aaron Forsyth, the VP for design, Mark Rosewater, the head designer, and then we had Roy Graham, who's one of the senior story leads, going through everything coming up, what they were excited about, and a little bit of behind the scenes on the design, the art, and the story for these sets.
Yeah, so they started with Bloomburrow.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of worked their way backwards from that. I love the reaction to this. If you've seen on social media, everyone's trying to figure out their fursonas because yeah. of Bloomburrow. So Bloomburrow is going to line up with MagicCon Vegas. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that as kind of the experience, because they always kind of do like an experience of whatever set
mm-hmm.
is out at the time, and so I would not be surprised to see like some foresty Bloomborough kind of stuff at Vegas.
After you.
I was gonna say, we kind of already had an idea, like based on some of the images we had already seen, that this was going to animal themed, but they really, it's really animal themed. They are all animals. Every single character will be an animal.
And anyone who travels to this plane, this world, through an almond path or a planeswalker, they explain that when you travel there, you become an animal. So we saw art for several planeswalkers and learned there will be a bonus sheet of planeswalkers and their Bloomborough appearance. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be in the story or part of that main set, but it's going to be sort of a fun little thing. So we saw the art for Raoul as an otter. We saw a hint at Chase as a fox, and everyone's kind of guessing what each planeswalker is going to be. And there've been some funny little interpretations.
Yeah.
What's neat in the design for this is how they created the world, and all the animals are essentially the humans. So the scale is based off of mice being the equivalent of a 1-1 human and then going up from there. And the big thing they're up against are, it's all the small animals versus what are called calamity beasts that are just gigantic, monstrous sort of elemental creatures. We saw art for one that was a bear, trying to find where it is in our photos.
I see one.
Lumra, Bellow of the Woods.
Yeah.
And this is big.
We have a picture of Repel Calamity, which kind of shows like a wolf, like a giant wolf. So yeah, it seems like kind of those like predator animals are kind of these big beasts. I love the bear Lumra. Like,
it's gonna be pretty cool, the different options. The Repel Calamity art is the one that they debuted when they hinted at it, the one lone mouse against a flaming wolf. And yeah, I also love that the set symbol is a maple leaf.
Yeah, that was kind of cute.
There's a lot of cute in this set.
Yeah, there is. They basically for this just showed us a lot of art, not many of the cards. We got a couple cards, but mainly they showed us just pieces of art. They didn't want to give away too much, but we did see that there were some land variants, some color land variants, which, you know, I don't know how I feel about it.
So they're doing all four seasons in the full art lands.
Yeah.
We saw the mountains, and it had a raccoon, I believe, in it. So each two color pair is going to be an archetype for a specific animal. So raccoons are Gruul, mice are going to be Boros. I believe they debuted some of the art for the commander decks that they did after the fact. So the big challenge from Mauro was, see if you can guess what the 10 animal archetypes are.
Yeah, so we know from the commander decks that there's a squirrel deck, which if you're a Chatterfang fan, you're going to be very happy. There's a trash panda one, a raccoon.
Which I'm excited for that one. It's funny.
It's goofy. There's a bird. And then I can't remember the last one. I was so excited about the squirrel and the raccoon that the other one just kind of, I don't know, went over my head.
Excited for the squirrel, but also is like, I mean, it was clearly there was going to be the squirrel deck in green black. I'm looking forward, and it's because we finally saw Mabel, heir to Cragflame, the mouse. I want to see what they do with Boros. And one of the things that made me, I shrieked a little bit when I saw it, was that we had art from David Peterson for Mouse Garden, which I think we talked about in our upcoming thoughts on what will happen this year. I think we said we need David Peterson art in this, and they delivered.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with the art. Like, I don't really have like a big need to make another Boros deck, but this art is so good that I'm like, but maybe I can build another one.
I think we can build another one. It's okay.
Yeah, it's really cute.
I want like tiny decks.
Oh, 20 pages with tiny decks. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was most of what was Bloomburrow. So after that, they went into Assassin's Creed, which we talked about this. I was excited for it, but now I'm even more excited for it, seeing the stuff that's coming out for it.
I've never played the Assassin's Creed games, but I looked into the lore because it sounded kind of cool. Friends of mine were always talking about it. So I'm like, okay, I kind of want to learn about this. And then I saw the card design. This is really cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be just 100 cards, 80 of them are new, and there is some clever stuff. And one thing they said is, even though they might not have shown everything, you will find your favorite character in this set.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there'll be a lot of neat callbacks for big fans. And it looks like they're doing this in the Aftermath booster style, mm-hmm. which I think will be clever for it.
Yeah, which I don't think worked for Aftermath. As we kind of talked about. But I think for something like this, Universes Beyond, something that, I mean, Assassin's Creed is like a big game, but something that's kind of more of like a smaller scale, like I think that this is a good fit for that kind of thing.
I like the idea for it. I think this will be a good test because we're seeing how they're adjusting Universes Beyond with starting with Warhammer, going into Lord of the Rings, Doctor Who, now Fallout. We'll see what they do with Marvel in 2025. I like how they're testing it and they're kind of keeping it fresh a little bit.
Yeah.
This whole year is a lot of trying new things.
It is. There's a new mechanic in this set, which I'm very excited about. It's the free running mechanic. So you cast for reduced cost, you hit an opponent with an assassin or your commander this turn. And as we all know, I have an assassin deck.
It's gonna get deadlier this year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm real excited about this mechanic. I think it's really cool. I like introducing new mechanics that are specific, like title specific. Like this one, we've talked about, we're getting a lot of new mechanics. Almost too much at times, it feels like. But I feel like this, like even though it's a new mechanic, is really good because it's so specific.
They gave us new mechanics in this with the previews, but they didn't inundate us with them. I did a draft last night of Murders, and I haven't played anything from it yet. I need to pick up some of the commander decks, and there was a lot of mechanics in it, and I always fail miserably at drafting, but I really, really did last night because I was just drowning in, what do I need to do? Wait, suspect? Okay, morph? What?
Yeah.
But with all these coming sets, they balanced it out. Free running looks cool. Did you take a look at the card for the Animus?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that was cool.
That one is, at the beginning of your end step, exile up to one target legendary creature card from a graveyard with a memory counter on it. And then you can tap, and until your next turn, target legendary creature you control becomes a copy of target creature card in exile with a counter on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll have to post a photo of this or go look for it, because talk about a flavor win with the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. We also have some great reprints coming that I don't think people were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited personally about Cover of Darkness. I actually, in Chicago last weekend, so that was one of the cards I needed to pick up, but as soon as I saw that this was being reprinted in Assassin's Creed, I was like, okay, no, I'm not gonna pick anything up because it's getting reprinted in Assassin's Creed. So I'm really excited about that one. And then Sword of Feast and Famine.
Yes,
hello?
I was just gonna mention that. And the art on it's great, but like Cover of Darkness was the first one I was excited for. We're seeing Temporal Trespass and Delve come back. Like, this is gonna be neat. What did I say? There were 80 new cards, so we got 20 reprints. And looking at those just as the hint.
Crazy.
And with the smaller booster design, like looking at how Aftermath, there's nothing below uncommon in it. So it's going to be spicier. I'm kind of interested to see some of these historical figures that they showed.
Yeah. So, okay. This one's kind of an interesting one. So one of the ones they showed was Leonardo da Vinci, which historically has been known to be left-handed. And in the art, is using his right hand, which is confusing the heck out of people. Yes, he was a little bit ambidextrous, but that was mostly for writing. It was mm-hmm. not for drawing or painting. And I'm saying this because I have a degree in art
history. Yep. So, I was wondering if this was going to come up.
Yeah. So I know more than I should about art history because that's what I went to college for. And as soon as I saw this, I was like, people keep being like, well, maybe it's a mirror image. Okay, if it's a mirror image, great. But like still, I feel like it's a little bit of a flavor miss that mm-hmm. it looks like he's right-handed. So,
I think they're going to balance it out because of, at least with the serialized cards they're doing. So every historical figure, the serialized version is going to be in their native language.
Yeah, which is really cool. I might have to try to track down a serialized Leonardo.
You need that.
Yeah.
So everyone give it to Nat if you get one.
But they also showed Cleopatra. Mm-hmm. That one was really cool. I love the language on that one. The native language serialized looks really cool.
It was fun because they did it in Greek, her native language, and then the flavor text is a cartouche hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
I want to know what it says, what it translates to, if it's the same as the English, know thy enemies as thy kin, or if it's something else.
Yeah. So her card is kind of neat. It's legendary creatures matter. So good for like a Joda deck or something similar to that.
Well, speaking of kind of Joda and five color Ezio, five color assassin.
This is interesting to me. I don't know how five color assassins are going to work, but, you know, I guess we'll find out.
I mean, you don't even need to pull that. It's one in a black for him, and yeah. Assassin spells have free running for two black.
But it also says whenever Ezio deals combat damage to a player, you can pay Wooburg. If a player has 10 or less life, when you do that, player loses the game. I love how they keep putting win cons on assassin mm-hmm. cards. It makes my heart happy. Also, this is five colors. I'm also like, why is it five colors?
Just maybe go mono black with treasures to balance it out somehow.
Okay, I guess I'll wait and see what the rest of it looks like, but I'm a little skeptical about five color assassins. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of people building that, I bet.
Yeah.
And it'll probably look really similar.
Yeah. However, Ezio's other card, mm-hmm. the mirror one.
I like this one.
I like that one. It's Death Touch 5/5 for 5 mana.
Short, simple, to the point.
Yeah. Whenever an assassin you control deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card. And it's the mirror, so I can throw it in my Ramses deck. So, mm-hmm. love that. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all of that.
And those are that along with Eivor that's in Boros. Those are going to be done in starter decks, kind of like they did with Lord of the Rings.
The art for her is cosplay worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I've been eyeing the art on this card and being like, do I do it?
I think you do. And you know, I mean, she's holding two axes.
Yeah.
One of them could be a Bloodforge battle axe, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think it's about time I make my own Bloodforge battle axe, you know.
It's kind of a shortcut to it.
Yeah. So that's Assassin's Creed. Looks good. Moving on to Modern Horizons.
This is wild.
Okay, first, can we say that we predicted Snowland? In our snow episode, if you didn't listen to it, we talked about the fact that we're kind of hoping maybe might see Snowlands returning in Modern Horizons 3 because it's kind of been on a 3-year cycle and this would be the third year, mm-hmm. so it would make sense. And they showed Nailed that it. Snow-covered wastes and we were like, beautiful. Yeah, so this set is... gonna be interesting lore wise, I feel mm-hmm. like. They showed that they are doing kind of the prequels, so to speak, of some of the planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed some a Johnny. Sad ones. Yeah, so they showed a Johnny, which if you don't know a Johnny's backstory, you should definitely look it up mm-hmm. and read it. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, everybody in keeps t- talking about the other cat in the art and like coming up with some wild things about it. But that's a Johnny's brother, y'all. Yeah. Okay. Quit making weird things happen. I just like people are like coming up with some weird, thirsty things about this card at all. That's a Johnny's brother. Don't make it weird.
People are still going to make it weird.
Yeah. The people that don't know the lore are like, ooh, a Johnny, who's that other cat with you? And it's like, no, no, y'all.
And if you look closely, he still has both good eyes.
Correct. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Also showed Tameo, so we get a little bit of the sequel to Tameo, who, as we all know, is no longer with us in Magic. Tameo was taken out by the Emperor when we were going through our Phyrexian battle.
It was sad.
Yeah, so...
Noshy afterwards.
Yeah, but I do like how they're doing this, because it gives you the opportunity to still... have characters that no longer are around, but people still love. They'll make new cards for them, even though they're technically old cards because they're prequel. So I do like that idea.
One of the big setups when they started the Modern Horizons 3 portion is that historically Modern Horizons was designed to be a way to access all the mechanics from Magic. And they kept leaving out the double-faced Planeswalker flip cards that started in Origins. So they didn't say these were the only two there would be. And there might be some other double-faced style cards provided in this set. So I'm really excited about it. For those who aren't paper players, they did say that this will be available in Arena for draft too.
I think it's going to be really fun, especially mm-hmm. because we're seeing the return of Eldrazi.
With the art for Magicon Amsterdam showing the Eldrazi in it, that should have been a big hint because that's when the debut will be. We have a new Emrakul.
And it's disgusting.
Yep, it is.
As it should be. Yeah, if y'all haven't seen the image of this, 12 mana. 12-12. But when you cast it, you gain control of all creatures target player control. It has flying and protection from spells and from permanents that were cast this turn. When it leaves the battlefield, you sacrifice all creatures you control. But this is the crazier part. It has madness.
Mm-hmm.
You pay 6 weight. So you have to have a weight to do this. But like to be able to cast it for its madness cost is kind of disgusting.
Yeah, it's going to be a winter of madness with those snow-covered wastes.
So Eldrazi are back. They showed the full art Eldrazi lands, which are really cool.
Those are beautiful.
Yeah.
But they're also, it's sort of wild because it's this beautiful landscape art and then there's just an Eldrazi destroying everything in the background.
I know, but it's like still beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. It's like beautiful destruction.
I'm going to have to get full sets of these to use.
Yeah. We also have the Sack lands.
We're getting new art and we're getting retro frames on them.
Yeah. Getting retro frames, new art, borderless art.
These are also gorgeous.
Yeah. They look great.
As a fun set symbol, sort of a riff on the old Modern Horizons, but with the Eldrazi right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to new cards, we also are going to see some reprints. But similar to like Commander Masters, how they did like the borderless kind of character portrait, they have those. So like they're doing a Lelia, the Blade Reforged one, that looks really cool. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more of that in there.
We're also seeing return of free spells. Mm-hmm. We've got Flare of Cultivation. So 1/2 green, or you may sacrifice a non-token green creature rather than pay this spell's mana cost and search for 2 basics. That was at least the one they hinted at, which has gorgeous art in the showcase.
Yeah.
It's by Lena Richards, who's a phenomenal artist.
Yeah. No, it looks great. I'm excited for that card for personal reasons because of my Titania deck.
The Priest of Titania, Rebecca Guay art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it seems like we're going to see some themes that we've seen before in mm-hmm. Modern Horizons 3.
From there, though, we go to the next set.
Yeah, yeehaw.
Rootin' tootin' time.
Yeah, so Outlaws of Thunder Junction, which, if I'm going to be personally honest, is probably the set I am looking forward to see. That doesn't mean that I'm not looking forward to it, but it just doesn't excite me as much as the other sets do. Funny enough, I'm looking at the art you sent me, and there's like a colossal rattle worm, and I just saw Dune 2 this weekend. That just made me think of it.
I was sitting up front with a bunch of our friends when that came on the screen, and I said, we need a tumbleweed token, and it needs to be a sapperling with decayed.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
The art's stunning on this set.
It is. Flavor-wise, I love the full art land. Mm-hmm. Love them. So, if you haven't seen the full art land for Outlaws Thunder Junction, they put the symbol of each mana type in the art. It's kind of like hidden in there. Which, flavor-wise, 10 out of 10. Love that. I think that's so cool.
They're beautiful. I love the planes. Just the hint. That one's probably the clearest you see, with the sun symbol made of clouds in the sky over a vast plain.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with the cactus land. I mean, I don't know why, but I just really like the cacti.
I like it. It's kind of fun. It's really vibrant. The color, even though it's mostly green, it still has a lot of character to it. And it's clearly a world of gigantic cacti.
Yeah. So we all know this is going to be the set with Kellen's dad.
This is the end of Kellen's story, too. Not so much the end of him, but we've been following him the past few sets, and they noted this is where that tale ends before moving on to whatever's next.
So we get Oko Daddy.
The villains.
Looking yeehawed out.
Looks ready for an Abercrombie and Fitch calendar.
Yeah, kind of, but like add a cowboy hat. We're also seeing the return of some fan favorite characters like Tiny Bone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which makes sense because
Oko needs a gang for this.
Yeah. We also see Vraska.
Rakdos is back.
There's some cool framing. They kind of did like wanted posters. Very on brand.
Those came out great too. Some of them are wanted posters. Some of them are sort of in the style of maybe a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Design wise, they did some cool things with this because it's sets within sets, in that the story they alluded to is there's some big vault hidden somewhere on this plane with all the riches of the world. And in the set, they had, I believe, they had a bonus sheet of crimes, because one of the new mechanics is commit a crime. And then they had another sheet that was the vault. And it's all these mystical, I believe, all new magical items. And the ones that we got hints at were wild. Crimes seemed like a lot of fun, because it's any spell or ability that targets an opponent or their stuff is considered a crime, which is something we all say when we're playing commanders, like, oh, you're committing crimes. Well, they just went ahead and codified it. And what's neat on the crime-based spells is there's still a choice with them. I don't believe any of them say opponent only, because you could target your own stuff.
Yeah. And they also surprised us with a new sword. We thought we were done, because we were like, we hit all of the colors. But no, they were like... Just kidding. We have more.
Here you go. And boy, did they go big. This is from the vault.
Yeah. So this is Sword of Wealth and Power. So creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from instants and sorceries. And then when equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, you create a treasure. When you next cast an instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. So very is it like sword, but not specifically is it. So, very interesting.
And beautiful Dominic Mayer art.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And like you said, it has a vault treatment too, which is also stunning. So, that was kind of cool to see. Also, we got Fibblethip.
Lost on the range.
I mean, Fibblethip was very prominent in Chicago.
It was on the lanyards, on the art.
On the
playmats. You saw Misha.
On the, they had the deck box that came out.
Those playmats were gorgeous. I kind of wish I picked one up.
I picked up the one of Fibblethip on the hot dog stand. I I loved it.
They sold out fast.
They did. Yeah. I went Friday first thing and I waited. I still waited in line for like 40 minutes.
It didn't ease up until Sunday for the line and they had a big overflow.
Yeah. By that point, everything was gone.
Stickers were gone. Those were some of the first to go were the stickers, the pins, and then the play mats. A lot of the shirts and jackets and everything kind of stuck around though.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that was what we saw from Outlaw mostly. That one is coming out sooner rather than later, so I'm sure we'll see more soon. But in the conclusion, we got the last of the Fallout stuff. They showed last of the cards. There is going to be a secret lair for Fallout.
There's going to be more than one secret lair for Fallout.
Yeah. So if you like Fallout, you're in luck because there's going to be a lot.
They had a scavenger hunt to see one of the cards for it. I'll have to dig up what it was, but clearly they're going to do a Vault Boy secret lair and then two more.
Yeah, I'm still excited as ever for the Mothman deck, especially after seeing all of the cards now. Like,
it's so good.
I'm so excited to get it and to play it. Ultra Pro actually surprised me. While I was in Chicago, they walked over to the Magic Kids booth and they were like, hey, we heard someone over here is obsessed with Mothman. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, that? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah. That's what they're talking about me. And so Ultra Pro gave me the Mothman playmat sleeve and first edition deck box. So as soon as I get that Mothman deck, I'm going to like Mothman out. Like, we're going to have Mothman everything. I actually did the cosplay. Yeah.
I was about to call out, go check out Nat's cosplay for this week, which is amazing.
Yeah, so I'm going to be posting more pictures throughout the week of that. It was a lot of fun. I got a lot of really weird looks while I was having photos taken. But people were like supportive about it, but they were also like, why is this girl dressed like this?
What's the cosplay you've worn that's given you the weirdest looks ever, though?
Probably when I did that ogre one. The Lord of the Rings one. I looked like an ogre. That's why I said that. The orc one for Lord of the Rings.
When they saw the Fallout, they're like, oh, we've seen this before.
Yeah. By that point, they're like, okay, it's just that crazy girl that dresses up and walks around. Yeah. So, no, that one I got the most weird looks from. But, yeah, Fallout comes out this weekend.
They're going to be doing SCG Philly. I'll be up there. Definitely going to pick up a Mothman playmat when those go live. I ordered, if you saw, I just went blank on their name, but they do 3D printed deck boxes and they did a vault from Fallout for a deck box. So I had to snag one of those and Mothman's going in it as a special memory.
Yeah. So you'll be in Philly. Are there any other events you're planning on going to this year while we're talking about events?
Yes, there's SCG Philly, SCG in DC, in Richmond. There's MagicCon Vegas. Where else? There was one other. I think that's all of them. What am I missing?
Okay. Are you going to try to go to KubeCon?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't you mean we are going to try to go to KubeCon?
Yeah. So in a couple weeks here, we're going to have Dan come on and talk to us about Cube and KubeCon. Cube is, I feel like, one of the most flavorful formats, so we'll talk a little bit about that.
Gave some advice on the Battle Cube.
Yes, we talked about.
And is it the light of a person?
Yes. We are going to be kind of a different events because Matt's on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast. So a lot of the events I'm attending coming up here soon are going to be the West Coast. I'm going to all the West Coast FanFests, so I'll be at San Fran, Tacoma, and then whatever the last one is that's in a mystery location right now. I'm also planning on trying to get to DreamHack Dallas and Gen Con.
I want to try for.
I will be working with Magic Kids at Gen Con. So,
you too?
So if, you know, you are one of those people that listens to our podcast that doesn't play Magic and you're planning on going to Gen Con, I will be there and I can teach you how to play. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones I kind of have planned for now. See what happens. It's a lot. So whether you're on the East Coast or West Coast, you can see Matt or me at some events coming up.
And we'll try and find somewhere you can see both of us again.
Yeah, probably for sure Vegas. And
it's funny because a lot of people didn't realize we were on different coasts. I had several ask me about that.
Yeah, so we live on opposite sides of the country.
I'm in the future.
Yes, you are 2 hours into the future.
Everything's still good this far ahead.
Great. Love to hear that. Yes, we have some exciting stuff coming up that we can't quite talk about yet, but we will let y'all know when we can.
It's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah, and we'll kind of start back up on our archetypes here shortly. We really just wanted to talk about Chicago and all of the stuff coming out because we're really excited about it, and some predictions that we had made, you know,
we were very excited about that.
Yeah, so
we're just going to focus on the ones that came true. The others, no, that never happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's still possibilities. We'll see.
Let us know what you're most excited about for the coming year based off of the recent previews. I want to know what decks you think you want to pick up, cards you're super excited about, or maybe just art that blew you away.
Or flavor text.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were really excited when we got our preview card and we got the flavor text for Casualties of War. It was like, okay, we have the line.
I'm still feeling the high of of when we first got those.
Yeah.
And then having that mentioned even during the panel several times, that was.
Yeah. So.
Talk about a good start to the year.
Yeah. So with that, I think we'll hear from us next week.
And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time. Keep cooking magic.